What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Chris and Amy visit with the KMOX newsroom.
Yeah, dude, our aggressive, was it a Boston Terrier? No, what is she? She's like a Chihuahua because they're really aggressive and they'll get you. Well, she's
you
not
said
a bulldog.
Bulldog, and then you said a Boston Terrier, and then you said a...
She's cute like a Boston Terrier. She's not like a bulldog, though.
Say now it's time for, say that.
Now it's time for...
Give them hell, Maria!
Maria Kina from the KMOX newsroom is joining us. She has been all over this Ameren rate hike story. Also, St. Louis County Executive Sam Page's indictment. And, man, we've got her. She's with us now. How's it going, Maria?
Good. How are you guys?
You're tenacious. That's what it
tenacious.
Is. She is tenacious.
That is a good word. Yes, yeah. Tenacious.
All right, so we've been talking about this rate hike with Ameren and the fact that some people are seeing their bills go up 40%, 50%.
400%.
400%. Just some really crazy numbers here. What do we know? What's the latest? Because we talked about this yesterday and how some of the answers from Ameren that you got a few days ago, pretty unsatisfactory.
And that's correct. And I was able to talk with Senator Carla May, and she is checking into this. She had no idea. This was the first she had been hearing about it. And she's going to see exactly what's happening here. Because yesterday I told you I talked with the Missouri Council, which is a public advocacy group for people. And I asked them what was going on. And that was a very enlightening interview and in a lot of ways startling. Because we found out there's Senate Bill 4 that is going to take effect on August 28th, which is going to allow the utilities to increase rates again. So that will include Spire this time, as well as American Water, which is St. Louis County. That's what county people have. And there's no way to stop it. The Senate passed the bill. It was supported by the governor. And... I don't know. This is going to be an addition to what people are already paying on top of it. So I don't know how people are going to deal with this because this will increase their utility bills, according to what Ms. Padgett had told me, over $1,000 a year. So this is going to be pretty significant for people. And there isn't a whole lot people can do other than try and seek assistance. Now, we should mention Cool Down St. Louis, which is an organization they've been here for many years. They're a nonprofit. So for elderly people and for disabled people who are having trouble, they need to call Cool Down St. Louis. Don't get caught up in some program with the utility where they're skimming off money off the top of it. And the people don't actually, then the organization benefits at this. Cool Down St. Louis doesn't get a penny. So it's very important that people know that.
Yeah, and Maria, too, just as a side note, with the weather cooling off today, tomorrow, after this long heat streak, just where it's so hot and humid, Dave Murray did say that next week we could be above 95 again. So like later in the week. So don't think, okay, well, I made it through. I'm not going to call them. If you have any doubt whatsoever, definitely call Cool Down St. Louis for some help.
Yeah. And one of the other things, you know, people, you know, they tell you to increase raise your thermostat. Well, if you're doing that and it's going up, you're putting it up to like 80 degrees because the lady from the advocacy group had told me she's hearing from people that they're doing that. Well, that's just that's harmful to people, mm-hmm. and you can't do that. And it doesn't help. And didn't you guys talk with Jerry Kelly?
Yeah.
Where they said running your AC like that really isn't good for it?
Yeah.
Because then it has to work that much harder to cool off.
Oh, absolutely. They said it would increase the chances that you're going to break your machine or going to have issues down the road sooner rather than later because it's working so hard to bring it down. And Maria, I do want to, I guess, what am I implying? And what I mean by that is I've said numerous times this week, the numbers don't make sense, that this 12% rate increase is not accounting for $200, $300, $400 higher monthly bill for customers. That Ameren said, well, it'll be $12 to $14 per month more for the average household. We've looked at usage numbers. We had someone call in, an Ameren customer, call in and say, our usage was 13% down from last July, but our bill was almost double or was double. So I keep saying the numbers don't add up. The numbers don't add up. Something's not right, which I guess what I'm implying is that Ameren's doing something like just raising the prices willy-nilly. Like, what am I actually implying here when I say that the numbers aren't adding up, that they're doing something illegal?
They don't add up. And I don't know if this was – I don't know how to explain this. Now, I did talk with the Missouri Public Service Commission that really was of no help at all. Other than to say, you know, I said, well, what could consumers do here? And they said they do have a consumer hotline, which I'm at home and I don't have the number in front of me. It's on their website and it's at the bottom of the page. It's a 1-800 number. You can file a complaint there. At least I think if we get people starting to file complaints and what Senator May called up following up on this, maybe we might be able to get somewhere with this because I had asked, you know, what do? Well, you call your lawmakers. That's how you get attention on this. Because I don't know that this is sustainable. Like you said, it's going to get hot again. We have the whole month of August to go through and September could be pretty hot too sometimes.
And sometimes so it's warm in October people, too. This,
yes, exactly. So this could really snowball here, so to speak, no pun intended.
So are you talking about the Attorney General's consumer protection? Is that the number you're talking about?
No, this is the Missouri Public Service Commission.
Okay.
They are the organization that the utilities go before when they want to do a rate hike. Because I asked them how it was possible that this could happen. And he said, well, you know, I can't go on anecdotal stories. And I'm like, these are legitimate stories. You know, I've seen people's bills where this has happened, and this is not 12%. At what point does the PSC step in? I also asked the advocacy group, does the PSC ever say no to utility hikes? And she says since she has been in that position since 2022, there has not been one no.
Wow. Okay so they,
she said sometimes – go ahead.
It is psc.mo.gov is what Maria is talking about, and the number is 800-392-4211 in Missouri.
And Maria, you talked about going to the consumer board, the consumer commission, and they said, well, these are anecdotal. What would a non-anecdotal proof be?
I don't know. And I asked him that. And I said, because it was frustrating because I said, well, you're really not helping me in any way where I can help the consumer. And he said, well, I just, you know, I don't know what you want me to say. This is what people can do. And I said, all right, well, fine. Then that's what I will have them do. I will give people that number and see if they can get any relief there. Now, if anything's going to come of that, I don't know. I don't know what the procedure is. Because when we were doing the Walgreens story, people were filing complaints with the Attorney General's office because I had called Andrew Bailey's office, spoke with their press person, and they said, this is what people need to do. We need to receive complaints in order to launch any kind of an investigation. So that's in the process, that one. We haven't heard back on that. But I think this is only going to get worse as people start receive their bills.
So I just want to throw this out there again, because I mentioned the number for people in Missouri, the Missouri Public Service Commission that Maria is talking about. That is 800-392-4211. Similar number on the Illinois side that you should know about. That's the Illinois Commerce Commission. So they do the same thing, and their utility service complaints number is this. It is 800-524-0795. 800-524-0795. That's icc.illinois.gov. So just want people to have information on both sides of the river.
And good that you did that, because also with the advocacy group, I had talked with Ms. Padgett, and she said, you know, the problem, sometimes elderly people are people who don't even have a computer mm-hmm. and don't have access to one. They can't go on there, like Ameren suggests, to go check your usage and go to the dashboard. And that's great to see. But if you don't have access to that, that isn't going to help you.
Yeah.
So it's good that people have a number that they can call to make a complaint. You can also call Ameren and make a complaint, too, to their customer service line.
And Maria, we had an email from someone in Edwardsville who's on a fixed income and said, I can't do this. You're on a fixed income and your electric bill doubles or triples. And like I said, I keep asking myself, well, what am I implying by saying that the numbers don't make sense? I'm implying something nefarious, I guess, right?
Yes.
Right. Well, I don't know that it's nefarious. I just don't know that if someone doesn't step in and say, wait a minute, there's a problem here, Ameren. You can't double people's bills, in some cases even make the more than doubled. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. And I think then someone can maybe step in and something might change if they hear that. I mean, maybe they made a terrible mistake. Although with the number of people that I've spoken with, that was a pretty big mistake that they didn't catch, if that's the case.
Okay. Yeah, but it's not good. Well, I mean, we'll stay on top of it. I know you are going to, but there's one bottom line here, and it is, as you said, a lot of people cannot afford it. They just can't. And I know not everybody's going to see their bill go up. Some people are going to have theirs go down. There are unique circumstances, but it's sounding like many, many people are going to get these bills that they just simply can't pay. And it's not going to work. And so something will have to be done. Not sustainable. Can't do it this way. Maria, we appreciate you jumping on and talking with us, and appreciate your coverage of the story. And we know you'll stay on it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm glad that you both are staying on it as well, too, because that's the only way you get results is when it's brought to people's attention. And hopefully someone will step in here and resolve this.
Maria Keenup from the KMOX Newsroom, reporter and anchor. You can hear her coverage throughout the week, and she will stay on this Ameren story for you. One more time, let me give out that information. In Missouri, for the Public Service Commission, it is 800-392-4211. Their website is psc.mo.gov. In Illinois, the utility service number, if you have a complaint, 800-524-0795. That is 524-0795, icc.illinois.gov. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX. We've got Ryan Fagan, who is going to join the show. He covers sports, covering baseball, contributes to STL Sports Central, and we're going to talk about the trade deadline, which is happening today. The deadline is happening at 5 o'clock Central. Looking forward to seeing what happens there. Cardinals have already been active. Mm-hmm. They have traded Ryan Helsley. They have traded Steven Matz a few days ago. They traded Eric Fetty. So pitching has been on the move. Will position players be on the move? There has been interest in guys like Alec Burleson and Lars Nootbaar and Brendan Donovan. Phil Maton, the pitcher, he may be on the move as well. Seems to be likely to go. So, and there's the Nolan Arenado question, which I think is unlikely to happen. I think he'll stay in the Cardinals uniform. That's my guess, but I could be wrong. But we'll keep you updated here on KMOX.
So, Ronj, a pretty tragic story earlier this month. A 29-year-old Google engineer in a freak accident. So she was killed by a tree branch that fell randomly while a group of them were hiking in Yosemite. So Angela Lin, 29 years old, a software engineer at Google, was killed by a falling tree branch while she was hiking with her boyfriend and two friends. They said the group heard a large crack from a tree. A bunch of small branches fell to the ground. And you know how you flinch when things start falling?
Yeah.
The boyfriend said he flinched and then he opened his eyes and his girlfriend was on the ground and she had blood pooling by her head and she died. I mean, just a horrific, tragic accident. But Google... this is according to Fortune magazine, and then Yahoo picked it up as well, that they have very generous policies when it comes to death of an employee. And it was kind of interesting because I hadn't heard of a policy like this. Now, granted, the last time that Forbes magazine was able to confirm this policy, again, the story came out because of this woman's death. Not quite a couple of weeks ago, but it was 2012 when Forbes talked about the death policy at Google. So when an employee dies, this is how at least it was about a decade ago. In the event of an employee's death, Google will pay half of an employee's salary to their spouse for 10 years.
Hey.
A benefit that has no 10-year requirement. So regardless of how long the employee has worked at Google, Google will pay half of that salary to the spouse for 10 years. Google also will then provide stock benefits to the spouse of the deceased employee, and then will provide $1,000 per month for any of their children until the child turns 19 years old.
It's great. It's great that they can offer that.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess I had always thought in terms of life insurance policies as separate from the employer, right? That it's going. And I know the way it works is Google, I'm sure, is working through, you know, another party to do this.
Well,
but
we have them on ours in our benefits with the company. We've got there's the standard one that you don't have to put any extra money in. And it's not, I don't think it's a ton, but it's a little something.
But what's interesting is that the way that Forbes reported on the story was not as if it was an option that you buy into, but that this is what Google does.
Just what they do. It's standard.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
Well, if you're a company like that, maybe you should take care of your people.
I think if you are a big enough company that you can do that, obviously a small business could not do this, right? That would put someone out of business. But if you are a giant company, I think actually speaking of giant companies, Microsoft became the world's second $4 trillion company.
What was the first?
Let me find that. This one now I came off the top of my head.
$4 trillion, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know about that. So if,
NVIDIA, obviously.
Oh, well,
NVIDIA.
Yeah, because NVIDIA
yes,
shot past everybody.
Yes.
Nobody knew what NVIDIA was like 9 months ago. Yep. Now they're
so
everywhere.
Microsoft, because I had that pop up on my phone that Microsoft became the second company to reach a $4 trillion market valuation today after a blockbuster earnings report on last night on the tech giant's shares.
Wow.
So, yes, Microsoft, which is funny because I don't know why I would picture Google or Meta being ahead of Microsoft. Would you have picked Microsoft as the number two company after NVIDIA to reach $4 trillion?
Maybe. I mean, Microsoft is still very big. Right. Obviously, they are.
Yeah. I think that Bill Gates dancing video is what made everybody think that they're not that cool.
Not everybody has an Apple. Like, PCs are everywhere.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, PCs are everywhere, and that's still Microsoft, and Xbox is Microsoft.
You're an anti-Apple guy, but you have a laptop with an Apple on it.
I love the MacBook. I just hate the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It's not, it doesn't seem intuitive. I get it. Are you on Nextdoor? The Nextdoor app?
No.
So Nextdoor is a website slash app that people have, and it's for complaints in your neighborhood.
Okay.
I have told before about my friend who lived in California and was fairly close to Fred Durst, who is the lead singer of Limp Bizkit. And Fred Durst used to just make random neighborhood complaints about the kind of stuff that people would complain about. You know, like the nosy neighbor mm-hmm. would complain about on Nextdoor. And Fred Durst used to make posts. No, true story. So, that's the first time I had really paid attention to it.
Yeah.
I'm not on it, but I come into work today and our security person mm-hmm. out front, Tammy, says, "Hey, there was a Nextdoor complaint about you I saw." I go, "What?" Like, what am I doing?
In your new place?
Yeah, I'm not doing weird stuff out in the yard.
Matt.
So, you don't know. But no, I'm a good neighbor. Like State Farm. until they don't cover your hail damage.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't do anything wrong. And I said, what would it say? And it said, well, the person was complaining that Charlie Brennan isn't on anymore. And they got a sports guy on.
And I said,
Nextdoor? Isn't that for like, hey, your mailbox looks weird. I don't like it. Why am I getting Nextdoor complaints? I'm a great neighbor.
That's hilarious.
I'm a great neighbor because I don't make noise. I don't make smells. I don't make messes.
Did that complaint come in after you moved?
I don't know. I just heard about it this morning.
I love that year. I hope there's a whole thread.
So
Matt
Pajeski is on it, and he says that Nextdoor has turned into just a regular message board.
It's just regular social media now. I moved into Clayton about a month ago, and I've never used Nextdoor, but I wanted to get on it because my street had problems flooding with the storm drain being clogged. I wanted to see if anybody else had complained about it or if this was a normal thing. And very quickly, I learned that people just wanted to talk politics and not even talk about the neighborhood. And then I was getting pushed like posts from other neighborhoods in cities not exactly near me, like University City or Richmond Heights, which is close, I guess, but like not pertinent to my neighborhood. So I could just see how it was becoming like every other social media. It was trying to loop me into
just
keep me there. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So I deactivated it probably within a week of downloading it. Yeah.
All right. Well, because my feeling on Nextdoor was that it was for people to complain about the guy down the street who doesn't cut his grass.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Or loud cars or your boat sparked in your driveway and you're not supposed to have a boat parked in the driveway.
Where am I supposed to put the boat then?
I like to think of
Matt. Let's ask Steve where he puts his boats.
Where do you keep your boats? I like to think that Matt responds to all of the political next door threads with like, what about the drain?
This is great, but have you noticed the drain is clogged?
Have you noticed your car is, the undercarriage is submerged?
So, speaking of boring, there is I'll tell you a genre of YouTube video I love watching, and it is people who take it upon themselves to unclog street drains. Not only like getting down in there, but they'll be covered with leaves and mud and dirt, and it's just pooled with water and covering the street, and these good Samaritans will just show up and rake it out, and they'll clean out the drain, and then you watch all the water go down the drain. It's really satisfying.
Oh my gosh.
Try it. Find it. Find the drain uncloggers. They're going to be some really good stuff there.
Somebody
for you.
Find a friend for this man.
Nobody wants to hang out with me.
Come watch this clogged drain video.
Latest on the Cardinals at the trade deadline, which is 5 o'clock today. They've already been busy. How much busier will they be before 5? Ryan Fagan, he writes sports. He covers and contributes for STL Sports Central and Opta. He's an Opta analyst. He's next on KMOX.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Amy Marks, Kors, Chris Ranji, the Gas House Gang is at 12 o'clock. Bernie Miklas and me, we will talk about the deadline, which is at 5 o'clock today. Cardinals have done things already, and there could be more to come. To discuss that with us is Ryan Fagan, who is a sports writer and contributor to STL Sports Central and Opta Analyst. And Ryan joins us on KMOX. How's it going, Ryan?
It is going well. I'm sitting here refreshing Twitter every couple minutes to see what else has happened. It's already been a pretty big morning in the baseball world and the trade world so far.
It's been very busy today around baseball. And you're right, Twitter, this is one of the days Twitter is actually great, is just to follow writers and continually refresh and see what's happening, because that's where the news really breaks first. So let's talk about all the activity and primarily what the Cardinals have done, trading their closer Ryan Helsley last night. They trade Steven Matz as well. Phil Maton could be on the move. So far, let's just focus on the deals the Cardinals have made. What do you think of those and what they got in return?
Well, I think when the Mets made the trade for one of the Rogers twins to solidify their bullpen, that kind of, I think in baseball, a lot of people looked at that return and said, whoa, the Giants did really good in getting that many prospects. And so that kind of raised the bar, I think, a little bit. And then when you looked at what the Cardinals got for Ryan Helsley, and, you know, quite honestly, I was a little surprised the Mets did that too. They're trading for a second, pretty much lockdown bullpen piece to go in front of Edwin Diaz out there. It was impressive. You know, I mean, I think Jesus Baez, the lead guy they got in that package. I mean, I think if you look at the Cardinals organization, you say, okay, well, they have infielders, right? But this is a guy I think has a chance to be special. You know, he's still pretty young in A ball, double A ball. So he may not be there for a couple of years, but I mean, it's the kind of guy you hope is a piece of what you can build. And then the other two pitchers they got, I mean, you can never have too many pitchers, right? You know, I mean, I think everybody likes to look at it and say, okay, well, is this guy, where does he fit in the top 30? Is he a top 100 prospect? You know, when guys are in low A and high A, sometimes they may not have reached that potential yet. So just because they don't profile as a closer or a number two starter, that doesn't mean they can't be, you know, key pieces of bullpens going forward. And I think the Cardinals are hopeful that both of those other guys in the package kind of meet that level.
All right, so we have heard that Phil Maton has been drawing interest. It's possible he ends up somewhere else. The Blue Jays like him. We have also heard that teams, and this is according to Bob Nightingale, have interest in Alec Burleson or Brendan Donovan, Lars Nootbaar. We've heard all of these names. What do you think happens next, if anything, there? And also, there's the Nolan Arenado. I think it's a long shot that something happens there, but it's not completely off the table. What do you think?
Right. Well, I think we've seen a couple of third basemen go already, with Eugenio Suarez going to Seattle and the Astros trading for Ramon Urias. And, you know, the Astros are a team that has been talked about often when it comes to Nolan Arenado, and the fact that they made a move for a different third baseman maybe lowers the chances of him moving even more. You know, it doesn't help that Arenado's on-base percentage this year has dipped under 300. That's not exactly what you're looking for. But I think when you're talking about what's going to happen for the Cardinals over the next couple hours, I think, you know, Maton, you know, you brought him up. It seems very likely that he's going to be moved. I think because we've seen the price for some of these relievers be so high, maybe John Mozeliak is thinking, I can get a little bit more. I mean, it would make sense to me, maybe even trying to package Maton with Jojo Reyes and kind of see what type of Jojo Romero, and see what type of better prospect package they could get back. Teams would love to add a righty-lefty combo to the bullpen. That may be a little much, but I think those, especially Maton, is, I would be surprised if he's still here because they traded healthy and because Stephen Matz has already moved. It would be surprising if Phil Maton is still a Cardinal at 5:01 p.m. today.
Yeah, I think it seems to be the most likely. If anything else does happen, if there's only one move, I would think now at this point it's going to be that. So just your general thoughts about what's happened around baseball. And you know, maybe there are some implications for the Cardinals down the road. I'm not really sure that we can know that now, but there's just been a lot of activity today. I know the Cubs acquired Andrew Kittredge, who Cardinals fans are familiar with. So there has been a lot going on around baseball, not just here.
Yeah, the one that surprised me this morning was the Padres trading for Mason Miller from the A's. I mean, you've watched Mason Miller. I mean, this is a guy throwing 102, 103, 104 on a regular basis. And I mean, he's dynamic, but he's got a lot of years of club control left, and the A's were not going to trade him unless they got, I mean, you know, I mentioned the top 100 prospects in baseball is this magical thing. The A's weren't trading him unless they got like a top 20 guy. Right. And that's what they got out of the Padres and Leo DeVries, who is, you know, a slick fielder, has got a bat that just really, you know, scouts kind of drool over. And when you're seeing guys like DeVries get traded for a player like Mason Miller, you know, Mason Miller has a couple of years of club control left. I mean, I think that shows you how much teams are going for it. And I think, you know, part of the reason that the prices are high is because so many teams are involved. You know, I looked this morning at the MLB standings. I believe it was 9 teams that had in the range of 60 to 64 wins, right? Nobody had more than 64. But a lot of teams had 60. So you have a lot of teams thinking, not only can we get into the postseason, but when we get there, if we're healthy and we make these additions, we have a chance to do something. I mean, because the Dodgers have struggled so much, you know, as the perceived overwhelming favorite, and they've had injuries, and, you know, I mean, it doesn't look like that's clearing up anytime soon. There's an opportunity. And I think a lot of teams are seeing that and kind of going for it. That's why I seem like the Mets, you know, has traded for not one not two, but, you know, including Gregory Soto a couple days ago, they traded for three dynamic type arms in their bullpen. I think that's what you're seeing so far the last couple days.
Ryan Fagan, sports writer, joins us on KMOX. And this is this deadline day for Cardinals fans is, you know, there's a lot of action. So it's exciting if you like baseball and you like to see what teams are doing. But also, it's a reminder that with the way the Cardinals have been busy trading away from the roster, it's a reminder of where they are, that they're not competitive this year. They were for a while, but they've fallen off. You know, they're not going to be a playoff team, most likely. I guess anything could happen, but here they are. They're not what they were 10 years ago. So the direction of the team moving forward, how quickly do you think they can become a contender again?
I think the pieces are there if they add in the right elements in the offseason and they develop the right players. But, I mean, look, if they're going to be a contender quickly, they need Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman and Thomas J.C. to be the prospects, the potential players that they see that they could be, right? Because those guys have struggled. You know, so J.C. hasn't had as much of an opportunity in the big leagues. But, you know, it's been a scuffle at times and sometimes extended scuffles for guys like Walker and Gorman. And I think when you look at J.J. Weatherholt and the potential that he brings and what he's doing at AAA, he looks like a guy you build around, right? And so if he comes up and they add these other things and then maybe go out and add a few arms in the off season, then, yeah, you can see a scenario where at the trade deadline 2026 – the Cardinals are a team that are going out there and adding. You can also see a scenario where that does not happen, and we're not talking about a contending Cardinals team until 2027 or after. And it all comes back to the whole thing with John Mozeliak being in charge this year, waiting for Chaim Bloom to take over after basically the trade deadline and going into it's a weird situation, right? It's an odd situation, and it felt odd when they announced it. It feels more odd now that decisions are being made by somebody who, even though I don't think anyone doubts that Mozeliak has the best interests of the franchise at heart, it's still weird that he's making decisions for the team going forward when he's not going to be in position to add to what they've brought in now and what they've done over the last year. So it's a strange situation. If you want to put on rose cardinal colored glasses, you can, like I said, you can see a scenario where this is a team that is a factor next year and legit contender in the next couple of years, but a lot of things have to happen for them to get there.
Ryan, speaking of Chaim Bloom and, you know, being part of that decision-making process when the Cardinals dealt Steven Matz to the Red Sox, they picked up 6-foot, 220-pound power hitter Blaze Jordan, but Blaze Jordan was originally drafted by Chaim Bloom in 2020 when Bloom was with the Red Sox. Do we read anything into that?
Oh, yeah, I think so. That's one of the things I always kind of love when you see front office types moving from franchise to franchise, and then they kind of do what they can to, like, hey, I like this guy at the last place I was. Let's bring him in. You know, I think it certainly bodes well because he thought enough of him to bring him along to get to this new organization. You know, and Blaze Jordan, he's an interesting story. I mean, he kind of, when he was in high school, he went viral because he was this kid just hitting massive home runs, and he had all this hair, and he was somebody, and his first name was Blaze of Blaze, and he had Michael Jordan's last name too, so everybody kind of was like, look at this kid. You know, and he's struggled at times. You know, he's been open with kind of talking about some of the issues that he's been dealing with in his career, with those expectations of trying to live up to them. But, I mean, this year really seemed to be kind of the year that he's like, okay, I'm focusing on these things. I'm going to be a better ball player. I'm going to be a better hitter. And his numbers this year have been good. And it's not just these pops of home runs and hitting 300. But I think when you look at things like his strikeout to walk ratio, and they're pretty similar. He walks almost as much as he strikes out. You don't see that a lot. So if you've got that plate discipline to add to the power, and, you know, obviously Bloom believes in him, to want to bring him here because that's part of the conversation, even if he's not making the official trade. Yeah, I think absolutely that's something that if you're a Cardinal fan, you want to be like, hey, this is something I can possibly get excited about. It wouldn't be crazy to do that.
Ryan Fagan covers baseball, covers sports for STL Sports Central, contributed there also at Opta Analyst. We appreciate your time today. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of the trade deadline.
Always enjoy it. Exciting to see what's going to happen the rest of the day.
That is Ryan Fagan with us, and we are 5 hours and 14 minutes, 13 minutes from getting to the trade deadline. Then it's Redbird Rush Hour at 5, and you've got Matt Pauly there.
As Ryan Fagan pointed out about Blaze Jordan being an internet sensation when he was a kid. So when he was 11, he hit a 395-foot home run at the Texas Rangers ballpark. And when he was 13, he hit two home runs that were 500 feet. Now, he caught flack because he's a kid using a metal bat, so it was a metal bat. But a lot of people pointed out, even with a metal bat, most 13-year-olds aren't hitting 500-foot homers.
You know, I think I went to high school with a guy named Blaze Major. I'm not kidding. That name sounds very familiar. I'm pretty
Blaze
sure.
Blaze Major?
Yeah.
314-436-7900.
If you're Blaze Major.
What did he end up doing?
I don't know.
That's an intense name.
I loved it. It's a good name.
It should be Major Blaze.
Gashouse Gang at 12 o'clock. Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji on that. That's me. I'm Chris. We've got, let's see, Jesse Rogers, who is expected to join us. We're going to be covering the trade deadline. It's going to be awesome. You're going to want to listen. And then Tom Ackerman will continue. I think he's got one more report for us. If something does happen, somebody will come in here and tell us about it. Matt Pauly. Any trade deadline stuff, stay right here. We'll keep you posted on what the Cardinals do before the end of the day on 104.1 FM KMOX. Well, somebody found that next door thread. The one that's complaining about me.
Yeah, because you're a terrible neighbor and you don't bring in your trash cans.
No, it's not about that at all.
You've got loud noise and music.
It's not that at all.
Is it all the ladies going in and out?
And the smells you make?
What the hell? In the what?
The smells you make?
Yeah, I don't make any smells or any sounds or any messes.
I've never heard anyone say use the phrase, I don't make any smells.
Well, you know how some people cook things and it permeates the whole hallway?
Broccoli. Ugh.
Broccoli, somebody
garlic.
Garlic, which can smell really good if you do it right. So somebody screenshotted the next door thread and sent it to us.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, Dave. It's Dave. He's not happy. And he starts off the thread with, I'm looking for an interesting talk radio channel since KMOX went out of business.
What?
What? I think Dave might be a little dim. And then he says, I don't care if it's AM or FM. He doesn't want to hear nonstop sports talk, not what we're doing here.
But I will say this, to Dave's credit, I appreciate him being open to both AM and FM.
Yeah, but FM sounds way better. We have an AM, we have 1120. We have a channel 1120,
there. I hope we didn't go out of business because why are we here?
Why are we here? What do you mean?
Went out of business, if KMOX went out of business, we're not going to get paid.
Oh, maybe we're like Milton and it's going to work itself out naturally.
Who's Milton?
You've never seen Office Space?
No.
Oh, my God.
Anyway,
the red stapler?
No, keep going.
Yeah, so he's upset that there's sports on the station, even though people in St. Louis love sports. We don't do that much. We do an hour in the middle of the day. If it's a big day like this, we cover the trade deadline because people love the Cardinals. It's the Cardinals,
dude. To be fair,
I
think Dave should probably know. The Cardinals are always number one. I remember there was some story, and I don't know what it was. It was a big story, like, let's say there's a new president. It wasn't that, but it was like Channel 4, today's news, like there's the United States of America has a new president. But first, Adam Wainwright was busy today.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Cardinals are always number one.
It's a big deal here. So Dave says they are no longer interesting to listen to. The last straw was to put a sports nut on in the morning show.
That's you.
I think he's talking about Tom. And then a guy who thinks he's funny in the, hold on. He says, and then a guy who thinks he's funny in the afternoon. So I guess that Dave? Dave Glover?
I think you're the sports nut.
Oh, maybe I am.
Because
I
it's the morning.
At any rate. So, Dave is a... Dave, listen, if you decide that you're no longer a dimwit and you would like to come back to the station, you're welcome to. But we are definitely not out of business.
Well, here's what I want to tell Dave.
We are also the home of the Cardinals for the next several years. You should know that, too.
So we're very much not out of business. But here's the great thing, because Dave is open to AM and FM, and we are on both AM and FM.
Yeah. Right in your face.
1120 AM, 1041 FM. It's awesome.
Right in your ears.
You know what? Maybe people need to vent.
They should.
Yeah.
This texter says, I went to college with a guy named Blaze, but I think he got that nickname because he was a huge stoner.
Yeah.
That wasn't the guy I went to high school with.
No. Blaze Major?
I swear.
Man, you went to high school with some, and went to school in general.
I went to high school with a Misty Spray.
No, you did.
Yes, I did. I will find it.
Misty Spray?
Yes, I will find it. I'm going to find it. I hope she's doing well.
I went to school with a drippy faucet. That's
okay.
What you just said.
All right.
That's awesome. Misty Spray.
Forest Park tomorrow.
We're at Forest Park.
Forest Park. 9 to noon. Hancock and Kelly will be there. So it's Chris, Amy, Hancock, Kelly, Forest Park Visitor Center, 9 a.m. to noon.
Come see us, baby.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.